First of all, I want to say that I am conscious, and we are conscious of the fact that we have a discipleship mandate. Are you with me? What is the vision of New Bridge Christian Community, also known as the Perfecting Church? We envision a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. Amen. We envision a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, represent the whole counsel of God, and we are on a mission to present all men perfect by maturing the saints. Sometimes we have said by perfecting the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, because of that vision and that mandate, it makes us emphasize things that you may not really hear emphasized in many other quarters that much. Are you with me? If you are truly listening to God, God will make you a different kind of person. Are you following me? It doesn't always have to be popular to be God. Like I humorously say, it doesn't also have to be popular to be proper. It just has to be God to be God. Are you with me? On this note, the month of June is the month of life in the spirit. That's our teaching series for this month. Life in the spirit. Galatians 5 from verse 16. Galatians 5 verse 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." It says in verse 18, "But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law." It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strifes, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness." You know, whenever I read this, Galatians 5, and it gets to the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. When I get to gentleness, goodness, that one touches me, goodness. Goodness. You know, have you seen people that you are like, you're too bad? Why is it bad, bad things just fool your life like this? Why are you bad? I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to say. Goodness. Then verse 23 says, "Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law." It says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the with the affections and lust." Now, everybody read verse 25. He says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Look at that phraseology. If we live in the Spirit. So there is a life in the Spirit. Are you with me? Life in the Spirit. When you get born again, you are born into a new environment. There is a way you live in this country. There is a way you live in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Then it says in verse 26, "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." You know, somebody may be wondering, what is the connection between life in the Spirit and tender-hearted? You will soon find out. Do you realize he's talking about life in the spirit, and the very first thing he's mentioning is the outward character or demonstration of the life of the spirit. You know, when we say life in the spirit, many people first of all think about revival power and fire, which is part of it. Are you with me? It's part of it. But can you see how sandwiched in between talking about the characters that the Holy Ghost brings is talking about your life in the spirit? It says, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Then it goes further in verse 25, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There is a way we ought to live, to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Like I'm going to talk more about on Sunday, the Holy Spirit is the consummation of the work of Christ. Meaning, what do I mean by that? When we say the Holy Spirit is the consummation of the work of Christ, we are saying the Holy Spirit is the agency that brings you into the reality of all that Christ has done. Because you see, the work of Christ has a vital side and a legal side. It's just like when you go to buy fuel, like they do in many filling stations right now. Before you buy the fuel, you will pay. And when you pay, you are given a receipt. And then it is with that receipt that you can receive the fuel from the fuel pump. Are you getting me? Now, by the time you slot your ATM card and you pay for the fuel, you have actually paid for fuel. But that does not exactly mean you have gotten fuel. Are you getting me? So, in the work of Christ, there is the vital side of the work of Christ and there is the legal side. Or better put, there is the legal side of the work of Christ and there is the vital side. The legal side is what Christ has done. The vital side is how you experience what Christ has done. Are you getting me? Christ has died. Christ was buried. He rose up from the grave. He ascended into heaven. How will that become your own lot and portion? The Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost that brings you into the reality of all that Christ did. We'll talk about this more on Sunday. Praise the Lord. And so, he says, legally, you have been born into the Spirit. But if you live in the Spirit, you must also walk in the Spirit. This teaching is very important. What I want to talk about today is very important. It's an offshoot. If you have been following our train of thought this year, it's an offshoot of what we have started talking about since April. April, we talked about this gospel. So in January, the first teaching series was Roadmap to Divine Emergence. And then in February, our Sunday services was for marital love, choosing your life partner, the things to check out for, red flag, black flags. Sorry, green flags, but there are some black flags.
Amen.
And then during our midweek services in February, we talked about walking in love. And then in March, we talked about growing up spiritually, sprout. We talked about how to grow spiritually. How do you know where you are? How to situate yourself? Do you know how do you know you are a baby Christian? You are a child in Christ? You are coming to the manly stage of your Christian journey? We talked about all of that. And then in April, we began to talk about this gospel after with the Word of Faith conference. We talked about what is the gospel. And we took a different tour to it. We started talking about some salient thoughts in the gospel, the Lamb of God, the deity of Christ, what does it mean for Jesus to be the Son of God, Son of Man. And we went on like that. And from there, in May, we began to talk about how to experience this gospel, practical faith. Are you getting me? Now, we are going into June. Still, it's still an offshoot of practical faith. But now it's a deeper sense. You can't talk about the experience of the gospel without talking about the Spirit, the agency of the Spirit. Are you getting me? Amen. Praise God. And so, remember when we were talking about evidence, and we said there are four levels of evidence that must be shown in your Christian journey, in your Christian life, that you are truly of God. We said victory over sin, and we spent the whole week talking about that. We were talking about victory over, then the second one is victory over the human nature. And that's why I'm having this particular teaching. Then the third one was victory over Satan and victory over natural limitations. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the ways in which we must live and walk in the Spirit is to nurture a tender heart. That's what I mean, nurture a tender heart. Say it with me, nurture a tender heart. This is important. Because if truly you have come into Christ, one of the evidence is that he delivers you from the natural heart. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. He delivers you from that natural human tendency. Jeremiah 17 from verse 9. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then in verse 10 it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Do you realize he did not say even to give every man according to the fruit of his heart? According to God, the state of a man's heart will determine what he will do. Look at it. I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I thought you are searching the heart to give him according to what is in his heart. What God is saying is, whatever is in your heart is what you actually do. Eventually, or so for example, eventually, what is in your heart? That's why, you know, for me, the Holy Ghost has been pressing on me this thing, to teach you this thing. If you follow the Port Harcourt for I long to see you, I talked about this thing a lot. If prosperity is in your heart, it will come out. After June, in July, I have a special teaching series which I've titled Furnished for Greatness. You know, Paul said that when you read my epistle, you understand my synesis in the gospel of Christ. There is a way, you understand my mindset. There is a way, there is a way I think. There's something that God has done inside my spirit that I want to communicate in that teaching. It's called Furnished for Greatness. There is a way a man's heart will be. That's what he will produce. For instance, you know, I don't know how to explain this to you or to someone that may not get it. I know that we are set for all nations. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I know it. It's what is in my heart. It may not have happened immediately, but I know that before the Lord Jesus comes, there will be no facility on the face of the earth that can take all the members of New Breed. There's some of you are looking at me and say, Pastor. Pastor. Hey. Pastor. Let me tell you, it is in my heart. For instance, the new venue is in my heart. It's in my heart. It's in my spirit. If you want to look at the natural state of things, it's like, how will it happen? But I know that I know. I know it like I know. Are you with me? Yes, well, back to what I'm saying. He says the heart is desperately wicked. That's the state of a natural man's heart, not your heart. Are you following me? The natural man, the man who is not born again, his heart will bring out wicked things. His heart will bring forth evil doings. But when a man has come into Christ, it ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. When a man is born again, it ought not to be so. When people look at your life, it should be obvious that there is something different about you. Remember when we were talking about evidence? Are you with me? Now we've talked about overcoming sin. Before we talk about dealing with the devil and limitations, see, one of the work of Christ is to deliver you from human nature. Human nature. The human nature is the wicked nature that has been encoded in the heart of men. Many years ago, there was a song that was raining. If you scratch my back, I will scratch your back. Who remembers that song? Oh, okay, remember. It rained in the eastern and southern part of this country. If you do me, I will do you.
There's another one. If you do me, I do you. God no go vex. Who knows that one? Do me, I do you. God no go vex. Or man no go vex. Anyone? Those kind of things. The Christian is different. I'm trying to show you that the child of God is different. The child of God. Say that to me. The child of God is different. Say it again. The child of God is different. This is one of the first signs of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. This is one of the first signs of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. One of the major prophecies of the New Testament was given in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. He said, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. Are you following this? I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. So when the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked and is deceitful and it's evil, it cannot be for me. It was my past, not my present. Are you with me? That means when you see your heart cultivating evil things, when you see your heart trying to bring out things that are not in alignment with your new status in Christ, you have to do something about it. It's an anomaly. I am teaching this because it's important. You know, a while ago, I was counseling someone, and a lady met me and said that her father is the most wicked man she has ever seen. I said, why do you say so? He said, that man will have millions. He said, my father is wealthy, but he literally maltreats me, my siblings, and my mother. I said, why? He said, when he's in a bad mood. He said, this man can have 20 million, 30 million in his personal account. My mother will be begging him for 5,000 naira to eat. I said, you are joking. He said, sir, it is not a joke. We kneel down to beg him. I said, she said, but the anointing, and that's my point now. She said, the anointing is that this man prays every morning by 5 a.m. That all her life, she has grown up to know that 5 a.m., my father is praying. My question is, how is that possible that you will be so devoted like that and not have a change of heart? Something is wrong. Remember what John said in 1 John chapter 7. If we claim that we have fellowship with the truth and we walk in darkness, if we claim that we are in the light and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Are you getting me? That's why I'm teaching this. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'm teaching this because there are too many people whose lives, characters, and hearts is misrepresenting what Christ stood for or what Christ stands for. Are you with me? So one of the first signs of the work of the Holy Spirit is that he gives you a new heart. Say after me, I have a new heart. But you see, when you get born again, even though Christ has done something, you have a responsibility to let the work of Christ flow out of you. Say after me, I have a responsibility. Say it after me, I have a responsibility to let the work of Christ flow out of me. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 32. The Bible says, I want us to read this. 1-3, go. And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Before I come to forgiveness, look at that terminology put together. Tender-hearted. When people encounter you, it should be obvious that, that guy's heart is golden. It should be obvious that you are of a different breed. That you are plucked from a different stock. Are you with me? I know this may not be the sermon you are used to when you hear about the Spirit. But this is what the Lord pressed my spirit to talk about. Tender-hearted. Amen? Are you with me? So, I can't list everything, so I'll just touch the important points and we'll move on. This subject, if I have my way, I would like to take like 2 or 3 services on it, just this tender-hearted alone. I'm telling you. It's a major sign. I'm telling you. But you see, sometimes Christians, you can lose your way if you're not careful. If you're not careful, you can allow yourself to become hardened. And if you're not careful, when you become hardened, you will not know when you start doing the work of the devil. Have you met human beings before? And when you are done, you feel like you don't need to meet the devil. You've met the devil already. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some people are so callous, that if you meet the devil, there will be resemblance between them and, you know, I was watching this film, Gladiator. I watched the first part one many, many years ago. Maximus Aurelius and all of that. Me, I like films of that dispensation because it helps me understand the Bible. Very important. I like to watch films of the medieval era because it gives me a graphic picture of the days of Jesus. One of the things that shocked me about the Roman Empire is they know how to kill. God, you can't escape. What kind of human beings are those? Who has watched that film? If you ever watched whether part one or part two, how do people invent things like that? You want to kill somebody, just cuckoo kill him, you will bring lions first. He will fight the lions, then you get a spot from how people die. That's not, that thing is real, though. That thing that they were showing in that movie, it happened. That was where they killed many of the Christians. You know what invented it? The evil nature of man's heart. Evil. What are the signs of a tender heart? Number one, kindness and compassion. Kindness and compassion. Kindness. Can you say to your neighbor, kindness? Hi. Look at that, Ephesians 4, verse 2. He says, and be a kind one to another. Kindness. It will show even in the tone with which you talk to people. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to train you into my synesis in the gospel, my mindset, my wisdom in the gospel. I'm amazed how that even ministers, when ministers of the gospel are preaching and talking about other ministers, the way they talk, you would think they're talking about Satan. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. You can correct things kindly. How can you be preaching grace and you are not gracious? I don't understand it. You don't just talk to people. You know, there are things you don't just say. A Christian looking at another fellow human being. You're a very senseless human being. You can't even think. Why are you so daft? Hey! Christian. Idiot. Stupid. Bombastic element. Be a kind one to another. Please, I hear what I'm saying. The one that used to... Would I use the word? Permit me, for our online audience, international people, off me, spouse, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you claim you love this person. No. No matter how angry you are, there are some things that must not come out. A woman was so angry, she looked at her husband and said, you are a broke ass. Are you a Christian? It caused a fight. And they came to meet me. I was counseling them. I said, ma, you shouldn't have said that. You know, it is easy to release words, but it's hard to take them back. Be a kind one to another, tender-hearted. Sometimes you're not even insulting the person. The way you talk to them, the way you just, somebody's greeting you, hello, hi.
Fine.
Your demeanor is showing that you are a piece of trash. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm trying to train us. I'm trying to train you. Everybody around you should feel like, oh God, let me just live my life close to this person. When people stay around you, they should feel, I made up my mind that the more people get closer to me, the more they should experience Jesus. That the more people stay with me and get closer to me, they should let it be that they will experience it as though they were living with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that you should not be stern when you have to be. I'm not saying that you should not correct when you have to correct. I'm not saying that you should not be straightforward when you have to be. But generally, you should be known as a kind person, such that when people misunderstand you, you have many witnesses to say, no, it's not like that. Are you getting me? Okay. Let me move on. Still on this, kindness and compassion. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Compassion. Let me talk about compassion a little bit. It says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. Now, before I talk about generosity, which is also part of this verse, let me talk about bowels of compassion. He's telling you that the believer has bowels of compassion. That word, bowels of compassion, does not look closely to what he says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. As it were, he's likening the overflow of the Spirit to an overflow of compassion. Bowels of compassion.
You see somebody going through a tough time. You know, compassion is something that... I've been thinking about Nigeria. I love Nigeria. I love this country with my heart. But Nigeria has a lot to work on. Not just our leadership, our people. Years ago, I was sitting down with a leadership expert, and he said to me, he said, most times, people get the leadership they deserve. I was thinking, are you sure? Could it be that Nigerians have gotten the leadership they deserve? The average Nigerian who Christ has not changed is wicked. You may disagree, but it's true. What confirmed this thing for me was February 2023. When they announced that they are changing Naira notes, the POS people will go and get the money cheaply from the bank and inflate the rates. They know that you need the money. Without it, you'll be stranded. And they ensure that they will keep you stranded just to make some more money. Where is your compassion? Where is your compassion? Where is the compassion? And everybody will go and pray. The Holy Ghost cannot tell you, guy, you are too wicked. Why are you so wicked? Why? They shut up their boys of compassion. There are cases where you can do nothing. Are you with me? In many cases, there is nothing you can do. Even in the context of what we're talking about, like generosity. When you can help, help. When you cannot help, have compassion. There are some times when you cannot actually help. You know, there are times people meet me, Pastor, my house rent, and let me put rent. I have a wife and a child. I need to pay their rent first. I need to pay their school fees. I don't know if you are getting me. So there are times when you cannot do anything. But let it not be that you could actually do something and you pretended like you could not. You will see police officers. Somebody is begging you, sir, please. We need help. This is so and so. We are in a tight corner. That's why we could not get the license. No license. Park. You are phoning us the office. You will pay 100,000. Sir. He's explaining to you. He's begging you. Telling you that, sir, look at what I went through. Sometimes it is that the license could not come out early. There is a problem in the office. He's explaining. Lack of compassion. Not a Christian. Say after me, not a Christian. Not for a Christian. He said, no. This is the principle. We stand on it. If God stood on principle for everybody, we are finished. All of us are gone. As a Christian, when you come to church, some people, you have 500 shoes in the house. You see one sister with only one. That sister, you know that shoe, God, it has worshipped God, praised God, served God, raised his hands to heaven. It has cried Yeshua. Every time they sew it with tear again, you see this person with one cloth, uniform, the straight. And you are every morning, you come late to church because you are confused of which one to choose. Excess cloth. See, this wardrobe is full. We need to make a bigger one. Did you think you have not? You've not thought about the person that has nothing. See, after me, compassion. So that's number one, kindness and compassion. I can talk about this at the end of the service. That's why I said, because there are many ways it's... I've talked about the way we speak to people, the way we treat people, compassion. The next one, forgives easily. A tender heart forgives easily. Forgives easily. Forgives easily. Forgives easily. I'm repeating it intentionally. Some people... I know it's hard, though. Let me tell you the truth. Forgiveness is tough, though. But it's one of the signs that the Holy Ghost is working in your life. Forgiveness is tough. And sometimes, God even arranges that the people that offended you may even come and ask for forgiveness and tell you that they are sorry. But some people, they know they are not satisfied until they get their right, until they make it even, until they, in local parlance, do you back. You see that excitement that you get by doing someone exactly what the person did to you. That joy you are getting is actually the flesh you are feeding. Are you following me? And the pain that you are experiencing because you couldn't get to revenge the wrong done to you. That pain is the work of the cross breaking your flesh. Are you getting me?
many times God will orchestrate that in life, people will offend you. You know what that will produce? It will destroy the flesh and allow the Holy Ghost flow. By the time you come to God in that pain and cry to God, a new weight of glory will come upon you that makes you different. It says, and be a kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. See, people are wondering, Pastor, you don't understand. You are a pastor. Everybody treats you right. Yeah. Yahweh. Rapha. Elohim. You don't see things. If I tell you a story, you don't believe here. There are some that, when the person wronged me, I'm like, you are foolish. This thing you are doing is very, very foolish. How can you wrong the person feeding you? Like, how can you plan this thing? Like, this thing that you are planning. How can you do it to me? How can I pick you, clothe you, feed you, send you to school, and then you gang up with people and come and rob me? No, help me explain it. It's just like the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, that they go angry and stoned Moses. I'm like, you are foolish. Moses was the one that helped you get here. If you stone him, what will happen? You see, evil is foolish. Wickedness blinds your discernment. It blinds your eyes from seeing well. So after me, I will practice forgiveness. By the help of the Holy Spirit, I get better with forgiveness. I want you to say it, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I am trained to let go. And there are sometimes, one of the keys in forgiveness is, especially when the person is a close person, sometimes misunderstandings can happen and it's not even that the person was trying to hurt you. It's just that things happen. Are you getting me? Things happen. Misunderstandings happen a lot in life. Misunderstandings happen. So as you deal with people, you must have what is called tolerance in engineering. When they tell you that something is 19 meters, they will tell you it can be 19.3, it can be 18.7. Are you with me? Tolerance. There is space because it may not be exactly. So sometimes you need to understand that people can disappoint you sometimes. Make space for it. Praise the Lord. Let me hurry. But there are some verses we must read today that captures what I'm talking about. Number 3. Another sign of tenderheartedness is you respond quickly to divine instructions. This one has to do with being tender towards God, not even towards men. So the Holy Spirit just nudges you. Do this. How do you respond? You know, one of the ways to master the leading of the Spirit, like I'm going to teach later in this series, is prompt obedience. It is in prompt obedience you can begin to train your senses, to train your spiritual senses to begin to understand the way the spirit of the life you've received in Christ operates. Sometimes you may not hear a voice. I remember, you know, I shared that testimony here. I was praying one day, praying, and the Lord pressed my spirit that there is a woman I know. Her name just came to my heart. Say, this woman, find a way and send her 50K. I'm like, Jesus, I need 50K. Do you know what happened? Not too long after that instruction came, somebody sent me 60K. I was like, okay, God, is this one for me or for the woman? I said, they're quoting the Bible for the Lord. You know, the Bible says, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, but there is he that withholdeth more than his meat. I said, oh, Lord, how much is meat for me to withhold from this money? Hey, You get, I knew that I felt the Lord was telling me, you know what to withhold. Son, send that woman the money. So I struggled. My prayer point changed. I'm like, Lord, you know, I can send that 25 first. Then say, but Lord was like, send her that money. So after struggling for 1 hour in prayer, I sent her the money. When I sent her the money around 3 a.m. So I went to sleep after praying. I woke up 5:30 a.m. I saw her message. She said, you are a man of God. I said, Mommy, what happened? Now, this person is not the kind of person you would think 50K will mean anything to. Someone that bought a house in Lekki for 30 million 15 years ago. Just walked there and just bought the house. Someone that every small time, I'm in the UK, I'm in England, I'm in Dubai. So I was like, oh God, that was part of the struggle. Now she's supposed to send me. No, I'm in ministry, Lord, I need resources. So when I sent her, she said, my son, you are a man of God. She said, today was my birthday. I was asking God for a birthday gift. And nobody remembered me but you. She said, when my husband was alive, during my birthday, everybody remember. But I have lost my husband. She told me, do you know I want to sell my house now? Things are happening. I've been having an issue with my health. So and so. I had cancer. Before you know, I had to sell the house to take care of myself. I said, Jesus. That money was the money they used to cook food to eat that day. I said, hey! Are you hearing what I'm saying? Speed to divine instructions. Now, do you remember when God sent Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, let my people go? What did God say? He will not respond. I will harden him. People say, okay, why did God harden Pharaoh? Nobody is hardened by God without the man first hardening himself. Pharaoh already hardened his heart. So God said, okay, since you want to be hard, I will harden you more. That means that time that Pharaoh was taking, the slowness of Pharaoh to respond to the instruction is called hardness of heart. Are you getting me? When divine instruction, you are becoming hardened. The tenderness in your heart is going. Let me tell you, this is something that you will battle with as a Christian. Not battle. It's an exercise that God will keep on going you through, putting you through all the days of your life. That is what part of our giving does. You know, someone sent money to me. A part of me was like, must I pay the tithe now? How would that money just leave my account? I'm telling you my struggle some days ago. Like, the money will leave my account, the account balance will just reduce. Lord, I like as he's just looking like this. God said, tenderness of heart. Pay that tithe now. I'm like, oh, I can pay a lot tomorrow. Let's just chill. Let's just breathe more in my account. Let it sleep there. So I now forgot. By the next morning, I felt the Lord nudging me. David. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it now. New bid account, JT Bank, 059. Tenderness of heart. That's what happens when we do evangelism. Have you ever gone to preach before and you came back excited? Or even if you didn't evangelize, like preach, but you just shared a tract or you did something gospel related and you felt that excitement of God in your spirit. Who has? Or maybe you were somewhere and you had this prompting to just pray. It seems like that prayer you did speedily seemed fresher. You know what is happening? That freshness you are feeling is tenderness of heart being imparted to your spirit because you obeyed promptly. Prompt obedience. And finally for today, a tender heart accepts corrections quickly. A tender heart accepts corrections quickly, not defensive. It's a rock that always defends stones that are thrown at it. When your heart is rocky, you know, some people say, I was wrong, but let me explain something. No, so I agree. But see, I need to tell you. Have you seen people say, they wronged you? They'll come and say, I'm sorry, but you save your head, we worry you. Like, are you saying that you are sorry or you are defending yourself? Accept corrections quickly. Not always defending yourself.
This was the major difference between Saul and David.
Hey. You can see 1 Samuel 15 from verse 28.
And Samuel told Saul, "The Lord had rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and had given it to thy neighbor, that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man." I like that phrase, the strength of Israel.
Verse 30, then he said, "I have sinned." Look at verse 30. Look at this man. Look at this Saul. Then he said, "I have sinned. Yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people." He said, "I have sinned, though, but honor me." He was commanding Samuel, "I have sinned, but honor me now."
We may criticize him, but we do it. Sometimes we are more conscious of our reputation than God's opinion. We are more conscious of our reputation. It's a dangerous thing to be more conscious of your reputation than God's opinion of you.
How will they see me?
No, how will God see you? Not how will men see you. How will God see us? He said, "You have sinned." Saul said, "I know. I have sinned. Yet honor me now." But if you go to David, in 1 Samuel chapter 22 from verse 20, I wanted to show you the way David cried. How David mourned about it. But in this 1 Samuel, what I wanted to also show you is, Saul, I'm racing against the time. Saul, something also happened that touched me. I will just talk about this and we'll pray and close. Something also happened about Saul that touched me, and I want to say this here. If you don't train yourself to learn how to respond quickly to instructions, you will get hardened as time goes by, and you will eventually do the things that you thought you could never do. Let me explain. If you read further in that 1 Samuel that we're First chapter 22, you can go and read it in your private time. From telling Samuel to honor him, you know what Saul did? When Saul now discovered that David was anointed king, Saul ensured that he will kill David and ensure he does not become king. So Saul went to a city called Nob, and discovered that some certain priests of the Lord had saved David, or they hid David for a while, because they heard that Saul was looking for him. When Saul heard that those priests, were hiding David, guess what he did? He brought all of them out and killed them. More than 100 priests of the Lord, Saul killed all of them. You would think that somebody that God picked up from nowhere, made king, when they corrected you, you would calm down and say, "I have made a mistake. I should not make more mistakes." He was doing more. That's the consequence of a man that does not respond when he's being corrected. As time goes on, you become more wicked. Are you getting me? Sometimes, it may not even be in the things you are thinking about. The Lord may be telling you, "You are missing your way. You are missing your way. This thing you are doing." The Lord may be nudging you. "This thing you are doing." But people say, they will just pretend like God is not talking to them. Ignore it and keep on going. After a while, you will discover you have done things that you and Satan were like, wow. We are guys. We roll. How did the operation go? When the Lord is trying to correct a brother, okay, you fell for this sexual sin. You fell. Are forgiving you, come out. But the Holy Ghost is telling you, enough is enough. You have made this mistake. Okay, you made it before. Stand up. Your friends call you again. A day will come. You will not know when you will start giving money for abortion. Before you know what is happening, you have aborted 8 babies. Are you guys what I'm saying? Before you know what is happening, you have gone too far. Because you are not responding quickly to instructions, to corrections. Jump on your feet. Let us pray. And your prayer is this: "Oh God, help me to be tender-hearted." Can we pray that right now? "Oh God, help me